Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to today's time together in the Word of God as we talk about the Ark of God coming home. It's been gone for 7 months. It's been in the land of Philistia, but it's about to make a grand entrance back into the land of God's people. John, I don't think we went there when you traveled with me to Israel, but there's a place called Bet Shemesh, and it's the actual place where the Ark of God came home. And it's a wonderful site in Israel. Most groups don't go there because there's not much to see. But when you climb a little rise on little mound and look down the valley toward what would be Ekron of Philistia, you see the way by which the ark would have traveled home. And it really is, and I always reference this story when we go there, it's just it's a great spot to know that, you know, God and his way, his will, yeah, it always comes back home in our life. You know, and that the people of God had wandered from God, but they had not wandered from his protection, his care, his promise, his future for them. And we're going to see some great things happen here in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. We're actually in verse number 5. The priests and diviners of the Philistines have been giving a plan to the people about how to effectively remove the ark from their land, make these 5 golden emeralds, make these 5 golden mice, and put them in the ark, and then send the ark away. Look at verse 5. Wherefore, ye shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land. Ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you, from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? So interesting, John, that the diviners are seeing some of this very clearly. They're seeing this is God. We don't question that. This is the judgment of God. God's judgment must in some way be assuaged. We can do that by offering this trespass offering. Why would we want not to learn from the Egyptians that rebelled against God and thought that they would win?
That's a great observation, Pastor, that these men did get some things right. You know, sadly, they didn't get the whole truth right, but they did understand a lot of spiritual concepts. It reminds me of the man who approaches Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and Jesus tells him he is not far from the kingdom of God. He had a lot of spiritual truth he understood. Whether that man in the Gospels ever placed his faith in Christ, I don't know that he ever did. But these people are right about some things, and they do understand beyond doubt that the God of Israel is more powerful than their gods are. And they need to do something to show this God that they realize this is his hand, and they want to, in their own way, give him glory.
And it also is a warning, I think, to all of us, and that is, you know, we can be 90% right about God's redemptive plan, but 90% right is 100% wrong. As Paul alluded in Galatians 1, and that is, when we add anything to the saving gospel message of Christ, the insufficiency of man, the sufficiency of God alone to save, the utter worthlessness of a works-based religion, when we get that even a little bit wrong, we muddy the whole water. It becomes another gospel. And so while there are elements of truth here, they get some things right about God, give glory to God, they even say, it's really a sad commentary. Sometimes people will say to me, well, such and such denomination, you know, they believed almost everything we believe. So they have them. I mean, they're not all bad. And what I say is, yeah, I'm not here to judge an individual person, but when a theological system is, I think about Mormonism. And there's so much about Mormonism where we could agree about things about the Bible or things about even Christ, but there's enough disagreement about important theological issues relating to God's redemptive plan that we could say it's a false doctrine. I would say the same thing about Roman Catholicism. And I have many good Roman Catholic friends, but if you were to believe that theology, that we are saved by works or some admixture of works, that is not the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, so often in people's lives today, they want to get along with others, you know, with religion. And, you know, hey, we agree on so many things. Why can't we just get along? But I am reminded of what Paul says in Galatians 1. You know, if an angel or anybody preaches anything besides what I preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul took it very passionately when people muddied the waters of the gospel. Why did Paul do that? Because God takes it personally. God sent his son to die for our sins. Christ is sufficient. And when we say, no, Christ isn't sufficient, we need to add to that, it completely besmirches the work of Christ. So God takes it very seriously. And so people who try to add to the work of Christ, that is not at all close to Christianity. It is completely other than Christianity. It is a completely different doctrine.
And Paul's attitude toward those who were deceived was one of compassion. But his attitude toward those that were doing the deceiving was one of condemnation, as you cited just a moment ago. Look at verse number 7. Now, therefore, the plan continues from the priests and the diviners. Now, therefore, make a new cart. Take 2 milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke. Tie the kine, the cows, to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. Well, if a cow is milking her calves, anyone that works on a dairy farm knows that that cow can't go long, but it needs to relieve itself by allowing the calf to come nurse. And so what would happen if you took a milk cow and tethered it and put its calf in the barn? Well, that milk cow, before long, is going to go find that calf.
It is amazing, as you referred to a couple episodes ago, Pastor, that I think maybe last episode, that they still don't want to admit, you know, with their will, that this is the hand of God. Yet they're saying this, but even as they do this, they're going to make it more difficult for this to really be the hand of God, so to speak. They're going to kind of stack the deck against it, so to speak, so that it's going to have to be almost impossible for this to happen.
Right. They're putting out a fleece is what they're doing. And what they're essentially saying here is, we're going to put the Ark of God on a cart. Now, what's interesting is God didn't judge them for that because they didn't know any better, that the Ark of God was not to be transported by a cart. Now, later on, the people of God are going to transport the ark on a cart, and they're going to be judged for it because that's not the method by which God told people to transport the ark. That aside, it's exactly what you just said, John, and that is that they created this scenario in which the natural thing would be for those milk cows to go back to their calves. So they created a scenario where if these milk cows take this cart with the ark on it and go the opposite direction and take it away, then we can know that something not natural, but something supernatural is taking place.
Again, it just shows us the hardened heart of people. Because, you know, these diviners, they've said some good things, even about what we talked about before, like giving glory to God, but their heart really is not focused toward God because they're trying to make this very difficult. You know, okay, if this happens this way, then we know it's of God, but they make it very difficult for it to happen that way. So we still see their heart here is trying to find some rational explanation for why this has happened. They don't ultimately still yet, they're hesitant about giving God what is due God's credit.
And we see this attitude throughout Scripture. When people are faced with clear evidence about God, the character of God, Christ, the nature of Christ, you see the same kind of suspicion. So whether it be the religious leaders of Jesus' day saying, well, you know, show us a sign. You know, just show us, prove it. If you prove it, then... And you see it throughout the Bible where what they need to do is simply take God at his word. Look at verse, I think about the rich man in hell who said, well, you know, my brothers, they'll believe if they see something supernatural. If somebody comes from the dead, then they'll believe. And Abraham said, well, no, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. And if they don't believe the scripture, they're not going to believe what is supernatural. So we do see that throughout the Bible. Look at verse number 8, where they said, take the ark of the Lord, lay it upon the cart, put the jewels of gold, which he returned him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, which is interesting because they don't open the ark. I think they know enough not to mess with that. And send it away that it may go and see. If it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, in other words, if it goes toward Israel, then he hath done us this great evil. Then we'll know that it was God. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. So there it is. As you said, John, after 7 months, they're still just questioning, well, you know, maybe this was just a bad of coincidental bad circumstances.
You know, that is the heart of mankind. Man's heart is wicked. And people in our flesh, you know, apart from the grace of God, we don't want to turn to God. And Romans 3:10 makes it very clear, you know, there is none that seeketh after God. You know, Romans 3:10 and the following. We've all gone our own way. All people are corrupt. People are not naturally good. And this is an example when the overwhelming evidence would say beyond doubt, hey, this is the hand of God judging us, because wherever the ark went, there's God is bringing judgment. But yet the human heart in its pride wants to say, this is not God, this is something else, because they don't want to think that there is a God like this whom they do need to submit to.
And they're hoping against hope. That, you know what, guys, that we thought this was God judging us, but at the last moment, now we realize it was just a set of really weird circumstances, and we really are better than God. We really are in control. This really wasn't anything. And that's what they want to believe. Because at the end of the day, we want to be able to do what we want to do without any kind of divine retribution.
You know, even today as believers, if we're not careful, we can push headlong in sin and think, oh, we're the exception. You know, I know the Bible says these things, but, you know, it's not going to work that way in my life. And we can rationalize all kinds of foolishness just because of the hardened heart that people often have.
So I guess my advice to you, my friends, today would be, don't have a Philistine philosophy. You talk about alliterated. That's PH with a PH right there.
That's fantastic.
John. But all kidding aside, you know, let's make sure that we are trusting God, trusting his word. That's the primary way by which we learn about God. But then not having to make God prove himself to us, having a predisposition in our heart and mind to know that our God is real and that our real God is at work in our lives. It's a mistake they made, but it certainly should not be a mistake that we Bible-believing Christians should make. So I do hope that is practical. I hope that helps today. And we will jump right back into our spot here next episode. So I hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.